All right, we're going to go ahead and call to order the Coral Canyon Infrastructure Financing District. Today is May 5th, 2026. It's 1:36 p.m. I'm Michael Jensen with Snow Jensen Reese. So for the call to order, if you could state your name for the recording, we'll start with the board. Nick, your chair, you want to start?
Yeah, Nick Meister with Coal West.
Eric Day with Coal West.
Beth Robertson, Board Secretary Clerk.
Shelby Clymer with CLA.
Tyler King with Snow Jensen Reese District Council.
All right, that's everyone I show on the call. We do have Christy Barker at the anchor location. Christy, any members of the public?
No.
Okay. Board, first off, we have the board meeting minutes from our February 3rd meeting. Have you guys had a chance to review those? Do they look accurate?
I've previewed them. I don't have any concerns. I'd make a motion to approve board meeting minutes from February 3rd, 2026.
Thanks, Seth.
Second.
Thanks, Nick. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, that's unanimous. Okay, Shelby.
All right. So, board, first item we have is the first quarter 2026 expenditure listing. So, total amounts totaled $91,770.53. Most of this was administrative costs, including the annual fee to UMB as the paying agent and trustee, and then $78,000 for capital outlay expenditures. Any questions
That
on?
78,000 came from the construction fund.
Yes.
And everything else came from the working capital fund.
Yes, that's correct, Seth.
No questions for
Okay. We'll move to financials and we can do kind of one motion for both of the items. So, first quarter financial statements. Here's the balance sheet for the district. Total assets about 15.2 million. Capital projects fund, there was just about 11,000 remaining there. Most of that's in the cost of issuance fund. If that hasn't already been closed out, we'll work with UMB. Typically, those get closed out about 90 days after bond closing.
Can
About
we get
15.
that moved to the working capital fund?
It'll follow the indenture, and usually those funds go back into like the bond fund, but I'll double check, Seth, and
So I guess if it goes to the bond fund, I mean, what good is it? What can we use it for, or can it be used?
yeah, but it would essentially just offset kind of future assessment payments that would be required.
Okay, I'm fine with that too.
Okay. But I'll double check the indenture and we'll follow up with you. In the debt service fund, total assets just under 15.2 million. The assessment receivable, this really represents the kind of remaining amount of the assessment lien following any of the prepayments that have been received to date. That's offset with this deferred inflow. As those are received, we recognize that revenue. And then these remaining amounts are restricted to debt service. Anticipate that pretty much all of this assessment fund will go towards a mandatory redemption on those bonds on June 1st. And then interest will be due as well, which will come from the capitalized interest fund. Then at the end of March, there was still about 8,000 in that working capital fund. And then current accounts payable were about 4,000.
When is our next payment due?
So the bonds have a payment date of June 1. Seth, we are not scheduled to invoice the kind of master property owner until March of 2027.
So it's not due till June of 2027, is what you're saying?
Well, there's going to be a bond payment on June 1 of 26 and a bond payment on December 1 of 26. That will be made from the funds on hand, including capitalized interest. And then capitalized interest will be depleted after that December 1, 2026 payment. So then we would bill for the assessment starting in March of next year.
So when Coal West closes the home and they pay off that assessment on a per lot basis, what fund does that those funds go to, or what account do those funds go to?
Yep, so those all come in here to this assessment fund. So
So that
that's where those
four
are.
million that's sitting there is are represent closings that have occurred.
Yep.
So
Shelby, what was the mandatory redemption you referenced?
Yep. So to the extent that closings occur and the assessment's prepaid at that time of closing, then twice a year there's a mandatory redemption provision within the bond documents that those assessment prepayments go to pay down those bonds.
Perfect. In addition to the already stipulated interest,
Yep.
annual interest payments or
Yep.
semi-annual.
Yep. You got
Okay.
it.
So on the June 1st, will that full 4 million get swept to pay down principal, or will do they, is there an allocation methodology, or will it just whatever's sitting in that assessment fund will get
Yeah,
swept towards paying down principal?
it should really be all of this. And then if there were additional prepayments through April, and we're working with UMB on this right now to kind of get that redemption notice out, but any amounts collected through April would be included here as well. And then that would really all be swept out for the June 1 payment.
Okay. I guess the only question on that would be if, to the extent that we're going to have the capitalized interest fund depleted after December of 26's payment, then on ju the June 27 payment, the kind of the interest only component, the coupon that's due, if we sweep the assessment funds, because that's kind of like the backup is you could pay for some of that interest with funds that are in the assessment fund. But if, I guess in a worst case scenario, if we sweep out that account and we don't get a lot of closings for whatever reason in that next, 12-month period, that then are insufficient to cover that next June of 27 interest payment. Is, I guess, is there a way that we could reserve a little bit of that assessment fund? So maybe we just keep enough on hand to cover like one future interest payment so that we don't get in a situation where we're kind of short on proceeds.
I fear if we don't take the full amount to pay down the principal, the assessments we're collecting at each closing, then at the end of the thing, will not be sufficient to fully pay off the loan or the assessment. So there'll be additional funds because we use those funds to pay interest as opposed to principal at the end of the whole, at the final payoff, I guess. Essentially, we'll have collected all the assessments, but there'll still be an amount due because we use it to pay interest as opposed to the assessment. Is
Well,
that right?
that's how it's always like the assessment fund has always they've always functioned that way. And that's part of the whole thing. They assess what was pitched to us with from D.A. Davidson was that those assessments are the mechanism to fund the bond payments, both P and I. So that's how I understood it. So I hear what you're saying, but the assessment, the way they calculated, I think the way D.A. Davidson calculated those assessments, included a component of interest. It wasn't just pure principal.
If we close, let's say we, you close on one lot. There's, I don't have the ordinance in front of me, but let's say it's 30,000 per lot is the assessment lien. We look at that assessment lien. In this case, capitalized interest is still covering the interest payment on the next payment date, so we wouldn't need to include any additional amount to cover that interest. But then that full 30,000 should then get applied to a principal payment. So then that brings down the total cost of the bonds, right? That impacts the interest that will be due in the coming periods. And then what happens if, so let's kind of fast forward when we're coming up on the June 1, 27 payment, capitalized interest is mostly depleted and there's a shortfall, then that's where we would bill Coal West as the property owner, whatever entity that is, for kind of that shortfall on the interest. That's how that gets paid. And then the idea there is that you guys are kind of building that into, your models on the price of the lots and the homes. So the principal portion itself, Nick, would be paid fully by the lot closings. And then portions of the interest may also be paid by those. But again, if there's a shortfall for any of these periods, the property owner would still be kind of on the hook to fund that additional amount.
So to answer my original question, the assessment fund of 4.2 million can not be used to cover the interest. That's only so they're going to sweep that fully in June of this year towards and do it 100% towards principal pay down. Okay.
And then looking at the schedule, so the scheduled interest payment that would be due on June 1st of 27 is about 372,000. That will decrease because of this principal payment that's going to be made on June 1. And then if there's an additional principal payment on 12/1 for additional prepayments through that period, so that will lower. And then because interest is being lowered, and then there's interest being earned on these funds, there's still going to be some amount available here to offset what would be due next June. Does that make sense, Nick? We're happy to, we're happy to kind of play around and help project certain things under different scenarios if that would be helpful for you guys. But that's kind of the flow of the funds.
No, makes I think it makes sense.
Okay. Well, I'll move on real quickly. This is our general fund budget to actual expenses through the first quarter, about 7,300 for accounting and legal costs. We had this transfer out. This really represents the paying agent fees that were paid from working capital. And then I believe there were some engineering costs also paid from working capital funds. On the debt service fund, interest has been earned for about 42,000 through March, and then assessment prepayments have been collected for about 968,000. And then so far, just that paying agent fee, we'll see interest in principal here starting on June 1.
So, to make sure I understand, we're saying we budgeted for the entire year 40,000 in interest, and as of Q1, we've already got that full amount.
I'd have to look back to see what rate we budgeted, especially when we don't know kind of the timing of the assessment revenues. We usually budget a little bit conservatively here. But again, ultimately, any interest earned here, again, would just offset kind of future assessment billings.
No, that's fine. I just want to make sure I was understanding it correctly.
Does that interest income, can that get funneled back into the capitalized interest fund? Is that what mechanic is?
It won't go right into the capitalized interest fund. There will be kind of a separate, it might just go into the assessment fund. But any interest earnings, again, kind of get included in this pot and then would offset future assessments that would be needed. Same thing with this reserve fund. Any interest earned there in excess of what the reserve requirement is will also offset those future assessment requirements.
And that interest amount that's shown at 42,000, is that interest on that on all those accounts shown? So it's a combination of the reserve fund, the capitalized interest fund, and the assessment fund.
Yep, that's correct. All of these are invested in earning interest.
So if that's applied towards future, the interest goes towards future. I guess you're saying a credit towards future assessments. Then does that just mean that we end up ahead on the back end where we have it gets paid the principal of the bonds get paid off early?
Really what it would mean is that, again, like if we're invoicing the property owner in March of next year and there's accumulated interest available at that time of 40,000, that bill gets reduced by 40,000. So the goal and the idea is that at the end of the day, the district has collected just what's needed to pay off the principal and interest on the bonds because it's a moving calculation to the extent that there's prepayments. And interest earns and earned and things like that.
I'm trying to think through towards next year. Once the capitalized interest is depleted, and we move into that phase where the obligation then moves to Coal West as the property owner to cover the shortfall, can we not use that interest income to help offset that shortfall? Or are you saying we can't use it to
It
offset that?
will. Yep, it
Okay.
will. Any kind of accumulated interest earnings at that time would offset that.
Perfect.
Okay. Move on to the last page here, which is the Capital Projects Fund. We had budgeted a lower amount beginning 2026 than what the actual came in at. So about $700 of interest, and then capital outlay expenditures about 80,000, including that 78. Then went back to CW, and then engineering costs about 1500. And then, like we noted on the balance sheet, most of this 11,000 is in that cost of issuance fund. Any other questions on these or in general?
You guys good then?
Think so.
Okay. What I need then would be a motion to accept the first quarter financials and the expenditure list.
I'll make a motion to approve first quarter financials and the expenditures.
Thanks, Seth.
Second.
Thanks, Nick. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
It's unanimous. All right. First up, so the trust where we have our insurance, we have a $5 million policy. So they wanted to increase our premium from $3,500 to $5,000. We said, well, we want to keep it down. What can we do? We can reduce the overall general liability down to $2 million. And just so you know, most of the new districts are doing a $2 million policy. The reason we did five originally is that was kind of the minimum that the trust would do. Now they recognize, and so they're going to lower amounts. So, talking with Matt and Tyler, we all think we're fine if we go down to the 2 million. And that way we can keep the same premium we have now. We just wanted to make sure you guys were good with that.
So going from five to two, and they want to keep our premium level where it currently is.
That's what it would do.
It's a good business practice for them.
Yeah. They I guess in the insurance world, the underwriting and wholesale market, everything's going up. So that was going to be across the board for everybody, an increase. So we just wanted to make sure you guys were good with it.
This is basically an E&O policy, errors and omissions, or
And general liability, yep. And then we
general.
have the crime policy that covers any what it replaced the treasurer's bond in case one of you guys do something with the money you're not supposed to, then it would
What's our premium on that?
that's based on the budget. So the old treasurer's bonds were 775, so I think it's a little less than that now.
So,
But every year it changes because it's based on the bonds, the budget.
yeah. So, what is our premium that we're getting now that we're renewing at this other rate?
I don't, Christy, do you have that number?
Do you show a payment on the listing, Shelby, for him? It's
No,
usually not.
not for this district.
Let me look, see if I've got it.
Okay.
And if I accidentally zoom everybody out, I didn't mean to.
Well, don't do that, Christy.
If we've got a bill.
Yeah, I know we budgeted Seth 4275. Because that was the number they gave us for pretty much everybody. But that was when we had the treasurer's bond instead.
Yeah, I mean, I generally might agree with Eric. It seems odd to me that we'd be more than cutting the premium, or excuse me, the coverage in half, but we don't see any discount to the premium. We have a really good insurance broker. I don't know if Seth, if Brady even looks at stuff like this, or if this is kind of its own specialty or niche.
I think it's kind of a specialty or niche. I know Brady doesn't get it. Someone at his firm can. So it's something that we can look at. If you can give me locations or whatever, we can go get it priced out.
So when we did the quotes, it was about half from everybody else, from the commercial market, is what the trust's able to do.
I don't have a copy of their crime policy, but
Okay.
you typically they've been running under 1,000 by far. So typically they're, no more than $400 or $500. They go off the revenue, whatever your revenue is generating for the year. That's what they pull the figures from.
So that's for the crime policy. So we basically have two. We have the general liability, which is the what they wanted to increase, and then we have the crime policy, which took the place of the treasurer's bond. So, but getting back, so when we did the quotes, the reason the trust's able to get the deal they get from the wholesale markets is most of the medium to smaller governmental entities in Utah use the trust. So that's why they're able to drive down the rates. So they must have got a significant increase for them to push it out to the governmental entities. Because remember, we belong as a member to it. So we're an owner. So for them to say, hey, owners, we've got to increase means where they get the wholesale insurance from increased it to the whole trust. I mean, I have no problem looking at the commercial market. I just think it's not going to be close, but I mean, we can always do it, Seth, if you want.
Sorry if I missed. What was the magnitude of this? The total policy or premium?
So 3,500 was the general liability, and then, as Christy said, add probably another 500 for the crime policy. So
Okay.
total, we'd be at about 4,000.
Okay.
I
So
want to
never
say
mind.
we budget 4,275.
Yeah, that's
Shelby
fine.
could probably look that up,
I
but
thought I was thinking it was a much larger magnitude than that.
yeah.
That's not, I don't think, significant enough to spend time on it, Seth.
Yeah.
So you guys good with that then? Okay. Next two things. So you guys did your conflict of interest disclosures. Thank you. The legislature changed the law this year. They had been doing these disclosures themselves, and so for whatever reason, they decided to spread the love and make every governmental entity in Utah do the same one. So every year we're going to have to do it. There's a window from January 1st to the 31st that we can do them and get them filed. So what our plan is would be in our December meeting, remind you guys, we would send out the ones you just filled out. That way you kind of have a baseline. You can do the new one and then get it back to us. So that's what they're requiring every year now. Okay, second thing they did to us is they want to have an anchor location be the inside of the district or inside the sponsoring entity of the district. So, Eric, is your office inside where the district's at? No.
Well, I'll say
What?
Coral Canyon. The district's Coral Canyon. I don't know how else.
No, it is not in the boundaries of the district. None of our we do not have anything inside the boundaries of the district other than maybe a model home.
There you go.
Okay. Remind me, is it in Hurricane?
No, it's
No, it's
Washington.
Washington.
in Washington. What we need is just somebody, doesn't have to be a board member. We just need somebody to be at a place, at a location where if any member of the public wanted to come, they could come physically to the meeting.
Can
So
you
all
say
we would need
they're requiring
somebody.
again? Did you not say it needs to be at the physical location or at the location of the
Can we do it at our office?
If it's in Washington, yes. How far away is it from Washington City, where your guys'
Eric's
office
office is
is?
in Washington. It's not within
Correct.
the boundaries of the district.
As long as it's in Washington City and they're the sponsoring entity, yeah, then we're good.
We're going to have the same problem in other districts then, is what you're
Yeah,
saying.
that's kind of odd.
Yep.
Like
Well,
that would imply that the people that developers have a physical location in every jurisdiction that they're working on projects in.
what they look at is eventually the district will be, at least where there's residential properties, there's going to be elected officials. And so they want it to be where the people that are affected by the district get to go to the district. Now, with PIDs and IFDs, it doesn't make sense. I agree. Because what are they going to do? They're going to get elected to do the bond, right? Or the budget. That's really all there is to do once you guys are done building. But the legislature, because they're a governmental entity, wanted it to either be in the district or close, which means the sponsoring entity area. So it will, roam and range, Seth. We're going to have to figure out what to do. And maybe timing of when we have the board meetings now, unless we can send people to different spots.
Hey, Michael, for that location statute is only for PIDs, not IFDs.
Oh,
So
then
this is an IFD, so we don't have to worry about
never
it.
mind. That's
Yep.
perfect. So Rome's the only one then. Well, no. Point West, Seth, we have an office, so we can take care of that
We
one.
could talk about that one when we get to that one board meeting.
Okay. All right. That's everything I have. What do you guys have for us? Anything?
I do not have anything.
Yeah, nothing. I don't think anything further. I think it'll be good. We'll just have to keep monitoring kind of the assessment fund and the capitalized interest fund over the next couple of periods or meetings, but I think we're in good shape.
Okay.
I'll make a
What?
motion to close.
Thanks, Seth.
A second.
Thanks, Nick. All those in favor say aye.
Right.
Aye.
Okay. Unanimous. Good to see you, Eric.